You ready?
I'm ready whenever you are. Hail Mary, full of disgrace. Notre Dame lost. The U put them in their place.
The U is back! Wow, we've been saying it for the last couple weeks. No one's been listening. Got a bunch of Twitter haters on here tweeting at us. U is back. It's official.
I know. We've been saying it this whole time. The U is legit. They have gotten no love from the polls, no love from all these quote-unquote sports analysts. I mean, they went out and they just beat the shit out of Notre Dame because Notre Dame is so one-dimensional that nobody can realize that if you just stop the run, they are inept.
Yeah, I mean, Miami's defense looked incredible. Like, yeah. The defense and the swagger. Like, the swagger is back. That's why I think they are the best team in the country right now. Alabama was underwhelming. Miami was dominant. The College Football Playoff Committee has given them zero respect, zero love. And this week was a beautiful week of why you put undefeateds in the top five, with Wisconsin and Miami both winning. So, fuck exactly. You, College Playoff Committee. The Beer Bottles QBs were right. You were right. So, I mean... great week of college football. Let's roll into recapping the week. It was electric stuff. One of the best weekends of college football we had. Huge playoff implications. We got to start with the number one team, Georgia, going down.
They look bad, Blake. They look really bad. I mean, from the opening snap, they didn't look like the normal Georgia that was just smashing people. But on the other hand, Georgia beat Notre Dame by 1 point, and Notre Dame's not that good, so, you know, I'll be the first to say I may have been wrong about Georgia. They may actually not be that good.
True. I mean, we've been high on Georgia. I've had them as my number one team in the country for quite some time.
Me
and they
too.
Came out, they laid an egg. They didn't look like a top 25 team, let alone a top 10 team, let alone top one. I mean, that was an embarrassing loss for Kirby Smart. Honestly, I don't know. Like, everyone's saying it's a shoe-in. There'll be a one-loss team going into the SEC championship. I'm not even sure if they've locked up the East yet, have they?
Yeah, they locked up the East because it's so bad. They actually had it locked up even before the Auburn game because the East is that bad.
The East is that bad. It's fucking terrible. But, yeah, I mean, it's literally – they looked so bad. It was so bad. They made a decent Auburn team look fucking incredible, which I did. Honestly, it pisses me off because this is like going to feed into like the AP or the SEC bias. You're already seeing it in the AP polls a little bit. Like, it's literally everyone's going to be back sucking the SEC dick when, honestly, this is skipping a little bit to Alabama. Alabama didn't look very good against an average at best Mississippi State team. Yeah, it was
average.
On the road. Yeah, it was loud. And Alabama's beat up, but they looked like a very beatable team this Saturday. So the two teams in the country, in the college football playoff poll, both looked very beatable, which is beautiful to me. Someone pointed out to Campbell Robinson, our good friend, pointed out to me that the current line for the field winning the national championship versus Alabama is +115. So if you want to get out there and just hammer that bet right now, if you're a degenerate gambler, that seems like a pretty good call right now. And I think it went up. It probably went up after this weekend.
That looks like a pretty good bet. I mean, Alabama looked beatable. They look like a top 10 team. However, they have a lot of holes.
They do. I mean,
exploit them.
This is not the Bama team that was last year or the year before. I think this is one of those down years. They literally haven't played anybody. Mississippi State almost lost to UMass. Like, I have to keep hammering that into people's throats that they almost lost to UMass at home, who was a 2-8 football team. And then they got blown out by Georgia. Like, it's – Mississippi State's not good. They're not a good football team.
No.
They probably lose 4 or 5 games in the Big 12. I mean, honestly, SEC – the top of the SEC is very beatable, and I'm excited for it going forward.
But, Blake, this is when we need an 8-team playoff. Because there is 8 teams that could probably win the national championship.
Oh, yeah. Like, I'm rooting for the rest of the season – after that big Frogs loss, I'm rooting for absolute chaos. I want to see just teams losing in these next couple weeks, like the top teams. And I just want to see absolute chaos and pandemonium. until we get an 8-team playoff. I think this is the year because it's looking like it's not going to be clean cut at all.
No, it's not.
And there's going to be some teams that drop. I mean, what happens if Clemson beats Miami? You have 2 1-loss teams. Alabama somehow falls to Auburn. And then you have, like, Georgia. I mean, a lot of crazy shit could happen. And I'm rooting for it all to happen. I want some straight-up Murphy's Law. It can go wrong, will go wrong shit. Let's go. Let the chaos begin.
Dude, I want chaos so bad. Because look at what if Alabama loses to Auburn and then loses to Georgia? I mean, what do you have there? What happens then? Like, Alabama's out, but they're the top team. Do you put Georgia in?
No, if Alabama loses to Auburn, they don't go to the SEC championship game. So they're a one-loss team.
Right.
Because Auburn only has one conference loss, which is an embarrassing one. It's to LSU, who, but let us remind you, lost to Troy at home.
Wow.
And it should not be a top 25 team in the slightest.
No.
But they are. Whatever. Yeah, I mean, like, literally, that is an ideal scenario for chaos is Alabama losing and then Auburn being in the SEC championship, because it's just going to cause insanity because everyone's going to say Alabama should be in. The SEC homers are all going to be like, the SEC champion should be in, which could be Auburn, a two-loss team. So then you have a Bama and Auburn in the playoff and you're leaving out a one-loss Big 12 champion or a one-loss or undefeated Big 10 champion or like an ACC champion with one loss. So right. Like, it could be just absolute insanity. Insanity.
Hey, I hope it happens. I'm rooting for it so hard for this to just, you know, throw a wrench in this whole playoff decision and really push it to an 8-team playoff, because there's I'm confident there's 8 teams right now that could all compete for a national championship.
Yeah, there's at least 8 teams. I mean, there's probably, with this year, the parity looks like there's probably 10 to 12 teams. Besides Miami, no one else looks, and Miami stumbled a little bit earlier in the year. They've caught fire. Honestly, I don't know if you can beat this Miami team right now. The defense is too fucking fast, causes too many turnovers. They're playing like the 1990s, the early 2000s teams. They have the swagger of the U. Like, they don't celebrate on the field like those teams that got all the celebrations banned, but they come off on the sideline, they have the turnover chain, they're pointing at the crowd, they're pumping them up, and like they're getting ready to go. Like, they are literally,
the U is back.
They're back. They're back.
And it's so fun to watch. They are so much fun to watch.
Oh, yeah. It's great. And then, I mean, you have Washington State, another big win coming up in the clutch. I mean, them and USC are both two-loss teams that could end up winning the Pac-12. So that's a team that could be in the playoff mix with two losses. Like, there's just some insanity going on. And I love it. I love every second of it. So let's move to our next game. Near and dear to our hearts, it's the Froggies. Didn't look so hot this weekend.
Didn't show Bama up in the first good. Half. The first half first was half. One of the ugliest halves I've ever seen a TCU football team play. Really didn't come out to play. So many mistakes, missed field goals. It was just 38 points in the first half. I mean, that was ugly, Blake.
Yeah, it was ugly.
Ugly, I mean, ugly, ugly.
If you just forget about the first half, we won the game 6-0. But the first half was there, so it's very unfortunate. Yeah, I mean, honestly, if you watch the game, they came out and they had a game plan and they picked at our weaknesses, which was the running back and the passing game out of the backfield. Yeah. Everyone's going to shout out Baker Mayfield for his 365 yards passing and 3 touchdowns, but Rodney Anderson single-handedly won this game for the Oklahoma offense. 490 yards, dude played out of his mind, had a huge touchdown catch before the half. Like, they're running up the wheel, like, he was literally the only player on Oklahoma's offense that really, like, jumped off the page and stood out. Baker looked good. Yeah, he didn't make any turnovers. It helps that they kicked out our fucking defensive end for kicking. I'm doing huge quotes here for kicking. Reggie Smith is a little bitch and needs to be fired. One of the worst refs in the world. The refs certainly didn't lose us this game, but they certainly didn't help things out. And Reggie Smith does have a vendetta against us. 2 punt return back 4 years ago, Thursday night game versus Texas Tech. That motherfucker called back 2 punts against us. I mean, it's been a long. He's a trash ref. The Big 12 is known for having shitty refs. but he's one of the
worst. It was pretty obvious. It was a bad call. I mean, you can throw a personal, you can call it a personal foul, whatever, that's fine. Don't kick the kid out. Don't kick a senior out of the game for not even, like, it wasn't even a malicious play. He was trying to get two guys that were laying on top of him off him.
Yeah, it shouldn't have been a personal foul either. Like, if that's what constitutes a personal foul, then you should just, college football should just be canceled for the rest of the season because it's a bunch of little bitches. The refs are being a bunch of little bitches. Like, if that's what constitutes a personal foul and ejection this day and age, I don't want to watch college football anymore because the NCAA has grown so fucking soft.
So soft.
But on the other hand, OU looked fucking good. So they did. They look like a top three team.
Their defense actually played a decent game against TCU. They had a game plan and they executed it.
Yeah, their defense looked good. Like, their defense played well for the first, I would say, for the first time this season.
Yeah.
And
OU came to play. They came to play from the first snap to the last, and they went out and took it to TCU, and frankly, they beat us. They were the better team that day.
Yeah. I mean, they really were. And they have a somewhat of a cupcake schedule left. They play at Kansas, which if it's a close game, I'm going to be shocked. Everyone in the world will be shocked. And then they play West Virginia at home, which is, I mean, could be a good game. West Virginia could surprise people, but if West Virginia wins that game, then we're in for some real utter chaos, because I don't know how the three-way tie for the Big 12 top works or whatever, but it'd be a three-way tie between OU, TCU, and Oklahoma State. And for some reason, I feel like there's some way that TCU will get screwed out of the Big 12 championship. So I guess we kind of have to root for OU from here on out. But the chaos theory would be electric if Oklahoma becomes a two-loss team before the Big 12 championship. So who knows what can happen. It would be crazy.
I don't see that happening. I think OU, you know, I think they probably cruise to play in the Big 12 championship. But if they do lose to West Virginia, I mean, what's going to happen? Like, what do you do?
Yeah, I mean, who knows? We'll have to see. We will have to see.
Yeah, I guess the next game I want to talk about is about Bama, Mississippi State. What happened to Bama's defense, man? They're getting scored on 24 points. I mean,
yeah, they're beat up. They have a bunch of injuries on defense right now.
Yeah,
and I mean, 24 points, that's not terrible throughout a game for
it's Mississippi State though.
Yeah, I mean, they run a, their quarterback is their best player by far, and they have a lot of go-to guys. They have a system that produced, like, made Dak Prescott look better than he was. That's pretty much what they do. Is they've got offensive minds, Dan Mullen. But yeah, I mean, Alabama's beat up. They look beatable. I think I think that's all you have to say about it. Is when Alabama looks beatable, that's not the the kind of Alabama team that typically wins the national championships for them. Usually, they're teams that win national championships look unstoppable and have one or two slip-up games. We'll have to see how they bounce back against Mercer next week, a real tough competitor.
Oh, real big game for Alabama. Mercer's coming in hot. They're winning a lot of games this year. Just kidding. Why does the SEC always do this? They always schedule cupcakes at the end of the year, and I don't like
Clemson's
it.
Clemson's
started
doing it, too. Clemson's playing the Citadel next week, which is... Jeez. I hate this. Like, I hate these, like, late seasons. I guess it makes sense. The SEC's been doing it for forever, and no one seems to chalk them. No one seems to take away credits from them for playing a bullshit team. But hey, you know.
You should. You should have to play conference games late in the year. You just should have to. That should be something that's required.
Yeah, but let's move on to Wisconsin finally getting a big win. So everyone was doubting on Wisconsin. The disrespect was real. We tweeted about it a lot, and now they had a huge win against the Iowa team that just waxed Ohio State, made Ohio State look like a bunch of little pussies, fucking destroyed them, which is embarrassing for Ohio State. But then they come back. Oh, they beat Michigan State by 40. Yeah, Michigan State had no offense. They have yet to have any offense. Their defense looked terrible. They're playing at home. I mean, Ohio State is a team that may make the playoff, but cannot win a national championship.
No. I don't think they should. You can't let Ohio State make the playoff with two losses if there's a deserving one-loss football team. You can't do that.
Yeah, I mean, we'll see what happens. But Wisconsin, they came to play. they could be a team that just wins out. I mean, and ends up in the playoff as an undefeated team.
I mean, they're definitely going to be top four this week. They deserve it.
They better be. I'm not sure if they will, but they better be. Like, they've earned it. They need to be there. They've got Michigan and Minnesota left. At Minnesota, Michigan at home next week. We'll see. If they beat Michigan next week, I think they cruise sail. Honestly, I think they beat Ohio State in the Big Ten Championship. I don't think Ohio State's good enough to be able to beat Wisconsin, honestly.
I agree. I agree completely with that. I mean,
and that's about
I'm happy with Wisconsin. They finally won a game. They played a good team. That's been the knock on Wisconsin this whole year, like you just touched on. They haven't played a good team. They finally played a good Iowa team, and they blew them out of the water. Like, give them respect. They are due respect.
Yeah, completely agree. And that's the most Big Ten thing ever, that the boring, run it down your throat, can barely throw the football, play big white boy defense is going to win the Big Ten and go to the playoff, and honestly probably get smashed by a much more athletic team.
Yeah, I think they're not athletic.
No, they're not athletic, but they play good Big Ten football, which is all you need to do to win that conference. Yeah. Ohio State, the athletic teams are out. Like, Michigan State's defense athletic, Michigan all have two losses, Penn State two losses. Like, the athletic teams are out. The big white boys are taking over the Big Ten again. Wisconsin coming back, rumbling, bumbling down your throat. Power eye offense.
We're going to run the ball, run the ball, run the ball, run the ball.
Run right, run left, run right, run left. Play action pass.
Play action pass. Incomplete.
That's their offense. They're doing it. They're rolling. Love it. I mean, you can't knock them. Like, I hate that to watch their style of football, but I got some Wisconsin buddies up here who are psyched about this season, and they look good. I mean, this could be their year to make it to the playoff. Do they have a chance of winning the national championship? I don't believe so. I think there's no shot in hell.
Win all your football games, and they've won all their football games, and that's all you can ask.
All right, so we've recapped last week. It was a wild week of college football. A lot of crazy stuff happened. And so now it's time for our second rendition of this segment. It's the coaching carousel.
I love it.
Butch Jones, finally fired, out at Tennessee. We've been calling it for weeks now, but they finally stepped up and did it.
It took them long enough.
It actually did. I thought it would be a lot sooner than this. Thought he'd be the first one to fall. Wasn't the first one to fall, but he's gone now. So the question becomes, if you have one pick, one person who will take that job, be the next coach at Tennessee, who is it?
Who is it? I'm saying they go. I think they go all in on Scott Frost. Tennessee goes out and they get Scott Frost.
A lot of people are talking about Scott Frost for the Nebraska job, as Pete Witt mentioned earlier.
Yeah, but dude, if you're Scott Frost, like, the season you're having right now, you're gonna be able to pick. They're gonna come calling.
True.
I mean, they're gonna ask. Tennessee's gonna ask everyone. So I think old Frosty gets a call from the Volunteers. Does he want to take that job? I don't know if Tennessee's a very good job in this day and age.
I think you can win at Tennessee. 100,000-person stadium, fuck ton of hot girls at Tennessee. I mean, you can bring a kid on a recruiting trip there. You can land that motherfucker. A little cash in the bag like the SEC is known for.
That's true.
I'm not sure how great their facilities are. We'd have to do some research into that. Maybe a road trip when we get some more.
Hey, Tennessee, why don't you come recruit us and we'll talk.
Recruit us and we'll grade your recruiting trip. See, scale of 1 to 10. That would actually be an electric segment. Let's create a fake huddle profile for and just use Madden highlights. Digitize them a little bit, make them look more real. See if we can get on a recruiting visit.
Let's do it. I'm in. Actually, new segment idea. Let's grade facilities.
We should start grading facilities. There's a lot of A's, and then there's a lot of F's. There's not a whole lot in between. It's either real good or it's real shitty.
Or it's, really bad.
So my pick, honestly, I think Neil Brown gets this job. I think he's the guy. He's not as big a program, but he's got that offensive mind. I honestly think he's a better coach than Scott Frost. Scott Frost is doing an amazing job at UCF, but who the fuck has ever done a good job at Troy? and Neil Brown has. Beat LSU at home. I think they're the guy. I think he's the guy. I think he's the next big thing in college football. I think he's the guy.
His team is very good. I mean, he's put together a legit team at Troy. I mean, they've competed with I mean, their two big teams they played were Boise State and LSU. They lost by 11 to Boise State and beat LSU. So, come on. Like, that's some serious, serious teams you're playing, and you're putting up a fight with Troy.
I mean, yeah, that's impressive. I mean, he's a young guy. He's in his mid-30s. I think he's the guy for the Tennessee job. If not, I think he ends up at Florida. He may have – Tennessee right now, I think Tennessee is 10 times better job than Florida with what's going on with the administration. Florida, it seems crazy to say, but that kind of seems like an untouchable job, and I don't think they're going to land a big candidate. If you're Matt Campbell, I don't think you take the Florida job. If you're Neil Brown, I think you might take the Florida job simply because – it is going from Troy to a big-time program. If you're Scott Frost, I don't think you take the Florida job. I think there's a hierarchy of jobs, and as far as a Power 5 job, it's one of the worst right now with what happened to McElwain. And like, someone's going to take that job, but it's not going to be the top-flight candidate.
I know. It's crazy to think that you have a team like Florida that's an untouchable, you know, it's an untouchable job, just like what you said, because the athletic director and – the higher ups will not give you the tools necessary to recruit and to recruit excellent players to turn a program around. They just can't do it there.
Yeah, I mean, like, they're literally, it basically come out in this by firing McElwain in the way that they did and talking about, like, him, the friction was him for him asking for facilities and things like that. And, like, the stupid bullshit stuff that they were going to fire him with cause for, and now they don't want to pay him, like, negotiations. Like, I don't think you take this job as a coach. I don't think you move your family across the country for this job with these administrators. And I think Florida's looking into the eyes of a deep, dark hole that is going to last for years. I think they're going to be in big trouble as a program. With Miami being back, Florida State has an established head coach, has won a national championship in the last 5 years. I think Florida is in for 5 to 10 years of trouble. They're having the Texas effect. They're going to have the Texas effect.
Yeah, I agree. They've got to do something to where, like, you can have trust as a coach that you're going to get the resources necessary to win football games. And right now, you can't do that at Florida. So why, if you're an up and coming coach, why would you go to Florida and take that risk to where you might be out in 3 years because you can't get recruits.
I agree.
Florida got some good recruits, but they weren't getting the 5-star big guys to compete with the SEC. I mean, they just weren't doing it.
Absolutely. I mean, completely agree. And they are, if you do take this job as an up and coming coach, it's a huge risk because in 3 years you could be out and then you have to rebuild your entire career, or you could wait where you are for another year and take a much more prolific job that has an AD that backs them, has an administration that backs them, and you can have a lot more success. So it'll be interesting. Mm-hmm. I honestly wouldn't count Randy Shannon out as the interim head coach. I think he may be the best candidate that they can get.
Yeah. I mean, who else is going to take it? I don't see a Matt Campbell. I don't see a Scott Frost. I mean, Scott Frost is already in Florida, so I'm sure they're going to go very hard after him. But if you're Scott Frost, do you even take that job after seeing what they did to McElwain?
Personally, no. I wouldn't take that job. I'd be 10 feet away from it.
Yeah.
But, all right, we'll have some more coaching carousel news as the teams keep falling, as the openings keep coming. We'll see what happens. It's going to be a wild ride. All right, so we're changing it up a little this week. We're not doing our top four college football rankings. We're doing our top 10. I think we've finally seen enough football to rank a top 10 and get it better than the AP and the college football playoff. Couple.
I agree. Right.
CJ, what's your number one team?
My number one team is the Miami Hurricanes. It should be everyone's number one team. They went and they kicked everyone's ass they played. They kicked the living shit out of Notre Dame, and they're just on a different level right now. They're balling out. Miami number one. they should be number one on literally every single analyst board. They should be the number one team in the country.
Yeah, absolutely agree. I have them as my number one as well. Watching the Alabama and watching the Miami games, Miami is the only team in the country that has a number one team swagger right now. Exactly. The only team in the country. And they're playing lights out football. Their defense looks incredible. The turnover chain is real because they get so many damn turnovers. And that's how you win football games. If you win the turnover margin, you're going to win some games. And they're winning all of them. They have a good quarterback. Calling out Paul Feinbaum after the game said, "Where are you at now?" on Twitter. I mean, they have the swagger, and I don't see them being beat. I see them beating Clemson. It's a close game in the ACC championship, but they're going to beat Clemson. They're going to be in the playoff. And yeah, so they're my number one team as well. I think we're probably both going to have the same number two, Alabama. Number two, even though they look beatable. No, you don't have Alabama as your number two?
I've got the Oklahoma Sooners as my number two team in the nation.
That's a good pick. They're not undefeated. They look like the number two team in the nation last night, but I have to throw Bama in there. They are still undefeated. That's been our thing. We've been harping on that all year. I think they're the number two team in the nation. They're staying there. Same spot as last week for me.
I've got Alabama at three.
Fair enough. And I've got actually a little bit of a surprise. I don't know if they've proven that they're the number three team in the nation, but they haven't lost a game, and they had a huge win this week. I think you got to put Wisconsin Badgers at number three.
Yep, I've got Wisconsin as four. They haven't lost a game.
I think Wisconsin three, and then Oklahoma four. That's my top four right now, and I'm sticking to it.
I like it. Who do you got at five?
At five, this is a little bit of a tougher one because there's a lot of teams out there. Just kidding. Six is tougher. Five is Clemson.
Yeah.
Without a doubt.
Yeah. Without a doubt.
Without a doubt, I think it's Clemson.
Without a doubt.
So, all right. So, who's your number six?
Number six. What?
This is tough for me because there's like a lot of different ways you could go for it.
I was thinking about this one, this was really, really hard for me to come out and rank this number six team. But I'm going to put Georgia there simply because they've lost one game.
I can understand that pick.
They look terrible, but that's one game. One game that they lost. They may go out. They may win. They could very easily win out, beat Alabama, and be the number one team in the country again and go to the playoff.
Yeah, I mean, very true. It's absolutely very true. This is going to be coming out of nowhere. But I think they have actually proven that they're a very good football team, even though a couple of stumbles. I think Oklahoma State's the number six team in the nation.
Wow.
I think you have to put them there. I mean, they had another win, a big win in Ames, Iowa. They've lost by a combined like 11 points this season. I think they're the number six team. I think they're the most underrated team in all these polls all season long.
I would agree with that.
So they're my number six team.
So to segue right into number seven, I've got Oklahoma State at seven.
There you go.
They're a good team. I mean, they barely lost to TCU and they barely lost to Oklahoma, who are two very good football teams. I've got them right there at seven.
Understand that. I'd go in Georgia number seven.
Yeah, okay, I see that.
Yeah, they're my number seven team.
We just basically flip-flopped right there.
Yeah, we did flip-flop. We're very similar on our polls this week.
Yeah. Number eight.
This is another tough one for me.
This is actually, maybe a little bit different.
Actually,
but,
this one's not tough for me. I think you have to – who's yours? You go first.
Iowa State. I mean, sorry. Not Iowa State. Ohio State. Ohio State at eight. Just because, I mean, they bounced back. They smoked. Blew a team out of the water. Two-loss team. I like them at eight.
CJ, that's a garbage pick. I'm going to call you on that right now. They blew a team out this week. But 2 weeks ago, they lost to Iowa by 30 fucking points.
That's true.
They're not a top 10 team. Top 10 teams don't lose by 30 points. Even if you're going to get blown out, you lose by 20, 21 points at the most. I mean, I can't. I hate that pick.
Okay. I hate that pick. Who do you have?
I'm going UCF. They're undefeated. You got to stick them in there now.
Blake, I'll be the first to tell you that's a trash pick.
That's not a trash pick. They're undefeated. They're handling teams. You got to put them in the top 10.
No.
Yes.
Disagree completely. Disagree completely.
What do you mean? If they go undefeated in an 18 playoff world, you have to put them in the playoff.
You have Maybe. To. They haven't played anyone.
You have to put them in the playoff.
Okay. We'll agree to disagree on this one. We're disagreeing a little bit here.
They deserve to be in the top 10. They haven't lost a football game. That's what we're all about. They're okay. American Conference. It's outside the Big Five, but you got to put them at 8.
Okay.
In an 18 playoff, they make it in. That's argument. That's true. They have to make it in.
It's a good argument. If there ends up I just disagree.
So in an 18 playoff, you're not putting UCF in.
Not yet.
Not yet. So
they have to win every single football game.
Let me flip it on the head. In 2010, as a Mountain West team, undefeated, 9-0. Are you putting us in the top 10?
Yes, I am. But we also played better. We played a better schedule than UCF did.
I mean, it's up for debate. We played a pretty soft schedule in the Mountain West. We played a good out of conference team. I mean, yeah.
And we played a top 10 Utah team.
True, but Utah wasn't that good that year.
They were a top 10 football team.
Exactly. So you got to give some love to the little guys.
Yeah, but UCF hasn't played a top 15 team.
I mean, the schedule's a little weak, but they're undefeated, and they've looked good. They've blown everyone out. They haven't played a close game yet.
Yeah, they haven't.
They're my number 8 team.
All right.
Who's your number 9?
My number 9 team is, I've got to go with the TCU Horned Frogs, I think, at number 9. I've got them at 9 simply because they lost to a good OU team, played with them in the second half, just had the first half of football was, you know, burn the tape, basically. Okay. Call back to one of our last segments, just burn the first half of that tape, and you played with them. I got them at 9. Pains me to say. It's almost a homer pick because I'm not sure if they're a top 10 team, but I'm going to put them at 9 because I love the Frogs.
I like it. I mean, I think it's fair. They have two very close losses. I think my 9 has to be Auburn. They deserve to be in the top 10. Huge win over number 1 Georgia, even though Georgia looked like trash. It was a home win. Auburn has a bad loss, LSU, but they also have a close loss to Clemson. I hate saying it, but they're number 9 on my list. Got to put them in there.
Yeah, I got Auburn at 10. So Auburn at 10. Right behind that.
My 10 is where it gets interesting because I don't know who to pick there. It's really tough. I think there's a lot of teams that could go there. I think TCU, I think Washington State could be there. I think USC could be there.
Yeah.
I
got USC at 11, so if that makes – they're right behind.
I think I got to go – Washington State.
Ooh, we are a Wazoo podcast.
I think I got to go Washington State. I think they beat Washington. I think they beat Washington out of the bye, go to the Pac-12 championship, and face off with USC and end up winning the Pac-12.
I love it.
I think their defense is better than Washington's. Falk is finally hitting his stride and playing consistently, which is what they've been lacking all year. Yeah, I think they're my number 10 team. I think TCU's just outside the top 10. I think they're sliding to 11. Just that first half, the fact that they had such a blatant weakness and it took us till halftime to be able to put a stop to it, I think you can't stay in the top 10 there. As much as I love the Frogs and as much as we played 10,000 times better in the second half, and as much as I would put 10 grand on the rematch if it's a OU-TCU Big 12 championship game, simply for the fact that Rodney Anderson's not going to have 500 yards in a Big 12 championship game against us. We will practice every single play they ran. I'm sure there will be some other hiccups, but I take us in the rematch, even though people will call that crazy because we got our ass beat, which is fair. We did. We got our ass beat. They beat us 4 quarters.
But Oklahoma's a good team, and it was at home in a crazy environment. We got our ass kicked in the first half, played with them in the second half. I got to give TCU a top 10 simply because it was Oklahoma. If that would have been against, say, a two-loss Oklahoma State, yeah, drop them out of the top 10. But they lost to, you know, arguably one of the best teams, or not arguably, one of the best teams in the country. And yeah. It was, you know, just the worst first half imaginable, and then you play with them, so.
Yeah, and I really do, like I said, I think I like Arvs and Gary Patterson's chance in the rematch.
I do too.
But it would be, makes things incredibly interesting, because then the Big 12 mm-hmm. possibly doesn't get a team in the playoff, and it's just messy. And you hate that for the Big 12, but I love that for the chaos.
Mm-hmm. So, yes, and then, so see, to segue to that point, that even proves that you have to have an 18 playoff after that, because that means, you know, you have so many teams. I mean, it's just unbelievable. You have to have eight teams. There's so many good teams this year. This is the perfect year for an 18 playoff, and it needs to happen, Blake. It has to happen.
Yeah, agreed. It needs to happen sooner rather than later. The NCAA needs to get off their fat ass and plan an 18 playoff and not be bitches about it. And I don't want to hear the fucking, oh, ESPN literally sucks off the NCAA. It's like, oh, but what about all the bowl games? And what about, you know, then the regular season isn't nearly as good if you have a playoff. That's what everyone said before the 14 playoff. And that's what they're saying about the 18 playoff. What do you mean? The regular season is still incredible with a 14 playoff. It's going to be even more incredible with an 18 playoff because you get to see some rematches of great games. With exactly. an 18 playoff, you're almost guaranteed to get, like, probably an Auburn-Clemson rematch, maybe, or, like, a Clemson-Georgia, Clemson-Alabama. Like, you're only going to get one of those now because there's only a 14 playoff. So
exactly.
Clemson, or Clemson-Georgia, Alabama, Auburn, TCU, Oklahoma. Like, they can't all be in the playoff, which is unfortunate. I would love right. to have an 18 spread and just roll with it, but we're not there yet. We're getting there. We will get there. I think this year is going to be utter chaos, and we'll be able to finally have a real playoff. 14 playoff is not a real playoff. It's just an extra game.
I know. And then you get it just changes so much if you have an 18 playoff. It gives teams hope after they get a loss or two. It keeps them fight. You know, I don't know. I just. It has to happen at this point. It has to. There's no argument against it, I don't think, anymore.
I mean, our 18 playoff this year would be phenomenal.
It would be amazing. Because then, like, I don't know. I don't see an argument against not having an 18 playoff. I don't. And it's mind-boggling that there isn't, that they haven't realized how much money they can make off an 18 playoff. Because I know me and you, we would be the first people in the stadium, if they had an 18 playoff, if TCU was in it, we go to every single game.
Yep.
I think they're worried about people not showing up for, you know, three postseason games. Not going to happen. Everybody's going to show up. There's money to be made. The ratings will be through the roof because everybody will watch it. Nobody's going to watch USC play Memphis in the, you know, RL Carrier Dome Advocare 200 Bowl. I mean,
yeah.
That's just like, that's not going to happen. I mean, you have to have these 18 playoffs.
No, yeah, I agree. Like, it's absurd that we don't have it. It's going to be electric when we finally do, but no one gives a fuck about bowl games. The players don't even give a fuck about bowl games. Coaches don't give a fuck about what. Half coaches are looking for new jobs already, trying to, like, get out of town or worrying about their job if they're going to lose it. Like, bowl games are trash. No one likes them.
Unless you're in the New Year's Six Bowl, it doesn't. If you win six games, you shouldn't be guaranteed a bowl game. That's ridiculous. Six win teams shouldn't be playing in the postseason. They shouldn't be.
Yeah. All right. Well, that's about all the time we have. Another electric episode of the Beer Bottle QBs. Go follow us on Twitter at the Beer Bottle QBs. Go follow us on Instagram at the Beer Bottle QBs. I said the blog would be up the last time. Not quite there yet.
We're close.
First article coming out soon. Had some technical difficulties. As you probably noticed, we're not the most fucking computer savvy people in the world.
Nope. Unfortunately, we didn't go to MIT and study computer science, so we apologize.
We apologize for our lack of timeliness. All right, that's a wrap.